First Samuel chapter 30. When you get to chapter 30, go to verse 1. I want to thank everyone that is with us this day. Amen. Those that are visiting with us in town, out of town. Amen. Family, everyone that is here in the house of the Lord. If you need a Bible, lift up your hand. Someone will get a Bible and bring it to you. Amen. First Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And when you get to chapter 30, please go to verse 1. Give you a minute or two to get there. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. Hallelujah. Amen. I had to come to church to get some rest. It's been nonstop. Amen. It's been nonstop. But we're thankful and grateful. I told myself the next time we had this, I'm going to have somebody else to speak. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, just the activities, so much going on. You don't think like that till you get in the midst of it. But all is well. Amen. It's been a good busy. Amen. Are you at 1 Samuel chapter 30? Begin at verse 1. We're going to read. I want you to just follow along with me as we go through verse 8. It says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." Could you turn me down a little bit here, brothers? I'm a little high, real high here. Amen. "And he had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself." Somebody say that. "But David encouraged himself." Amen. "In the Lord, his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Today I want to speak from the subject of "I shall recover all." Look at your neighbor and say, "I shall recover all." Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to know today that whatever the Lord has purpose in your life, amen, whatever he has purpose in your life, it may look like it's done got through your fingers, amen, I'm here to tell you that you will recover all. Amen. Now, I want to tell you at the outset that there are some things that you might have placed in your own life or somebody else might have placed in your life. You can't recover your own doing. You hear what I'm saying? But anything that God has given unto you and the enemy has taken, amen, I'm here to tell you, you shall recover all. Amen. You shall recover all. Amen. I want us to see this here in this text that we're reading here. We find David, who is the captain. Somebody said the captain of these army of men. I like this. This is military. Amen. Even though he wasn't really in the military, but they call him a captain, amen, of his men. Amen. Somebody cut that air on, man. I see folks waving and doing that. I think the lights are on. I know the air should be able to come on up in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. How y'all feeling out there? Amen. Y'all okay? A little bit of air won't hurt you, will it? Okay, okay. We got a few folks in here, no matter what. They cold when it's burning up in here. Amen. I'm not going to say any names, Kendra. But, I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. Oh, my God. Amen. I love you, Kendra. You know, I'm just messing with you. Amen. Our sister, amen. You look at, but we understand here that David is the captain of the army of men, and they are returning back home. They've been out for 3 days. And they're returning back home. But as they return back home, man, they seen that those Amalekites done come up in the camp. You know what I'm saying? Come up and has burnt the whole, burnt all of Ziklag down, have taken the women and the children with them, and have gone. The livestock got everything that was worthy of something that was going on. They took everything. That's the text. But in the context of this, we must understand that David is on the run. David, you look just over a few chapters, and we're going to go back a few chapters. We understand that David was on the run from King Saul, who in a sense was, well, in a sense, who was his father-in-law. You hear that, man? On the run from your father-in-law. Oh, my God. The Bible, boy, it'll lay it out. Amen. I tell you, he was on run from his father-in-law, and his father-in-law was jealous of him. He was jealous of him because when they came back from battle, when David, you understand that it was Samuel that anointed David to be king of all of Israel. But King Saul was the king of Israel because he was the people's choice. Somebody say the people's choice. But I want you to understand, you never want to be in your life, you don't want to be the people's choice. You hear what I'm saying? You want to be God's choice. Amen. You want to be God's man or God's woman. Because the people's choice is never going to stay in place. Amen. The people's choice is going to get in place and they ain't supposed to be in place. You hear what I'm saying? And then they're going to do everything they can to stay in place. But when God puts you in a place, there's nothing that any demon in hell or man can do. Amen. To bring you out for what God has given unto you. Amen. Somebody say, I shall recover all. Ah, yeah, we're going somewhere today here. Amen. So we see here that David, when we look in the context, not the text, but the context of this, that David is on run from his father-in-law, and his father-in-law is jealous because when they came back from war, the Bible says that that King Saul, that he has killed his thousands, but David had killed his 10,000. Amen. Everybody was screaming and shouting, and he got a little more shout, amen, than his father-in-law did, than his son did, that his son-in-law, that he became jealous and he began to turn on him there. And we know the story. David begins to get on the run. He was on the run. He was leaving. Now, it's interesting here. The Bible teaches us that fruit does not fall too far from the tree. Amen. You should know the tree by their what? Fruit. Now, it was interesting here because I'm thinking about David and I'm thinking about his wife because Saul gave him King Saul gave him his wife. Amen. His daughter, Michael. Yeah, amen. It was his daughter which became his wife. Amen. Y'all help me out here. All right. But isn't it interesting? She had that same spirit that her daddy had on her. Did she not? Because she got, you remember when he come back and he cut a step out there dancing? Amen. He was praising. She looking out the window. What in the world he doing? You know what I'm saying? And she became jealous and even envious of him. And I'm telling you, it was so much so, they worked something out. He took his daughter from David and gave her to somebody else. Oh, read that thing out. You know what I'm saying? It was crazy. But David got two of them. I'm telling you, man. He went down there, man, got Abigail. You hear what I'm saying? Because her husband was crazy. You hear what I'm saying? The Bible said he was evil. Amen. And oh, look, I'm telling you, and the Lord began to speak to me, boy. I'm telling you, he speak to us men. I think this should be a men's day message here. I'm telling you. Man. Because it deals with authority and headship here. That when the man is gone too long, the enemy will come in like a flood. You hear what I'm saying? The enemy will show up and come in. Amen. It's the same thing. But the Bible tells us, when you think about the head, the Bible says that the head of man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. So what you're saying, Pastor, I'm not just talking about the man, but when the man is out of place too long, amen, the enemy is going to come in and take everything that he desires to take. Well, who you talking? I'm talking about Jesus, amen, because Jesus gives us access to the Father. So we can look at it in a practical sense and see here that when David and all the men were gone, it took 3 days and the enemy came in and took over, burnt up everything, took the wives, the children, and everyone when he done this. But I'm here to tell you, amen, that you shall recover it all. David's going to show us how to recover everything that God has given unto us. Amen. Now, David's life reveals the hurt, the harm, and the hang up that comes with life. Somebody said that comes with life. It's interesting. If you live longer enough, you will have some hurts in your life. You will have some hang-ups, and you will form some habits that you need to be delivered from through your life. But what I'm saying unto you, that the enemy desires to catch us up with those things here. But through the life of David, through his faithfulness and his dependency upon God, we're going to see that God gives unto us the victory. Somebody say, I need the victory. See, I don't know where you're at in your life today, amen, but you are wherever you're at, you want to have the victory, amen. And if we look back far enough, we done had some defeats in our lives. And when you get old enough, you say, I'm tired of having defeats at all. You know what I'm saying? I want to be, look, I done got old enough where it should be victorious all the way to the end. You know what I'm saying? So I must learn how to gain the victory when something looked like it's being defeat in my life, when it looked like something has been taken out of my life that's not supposed to be taken out, that God has promised and ordained for my life. I must learn how to respond and to react unto these things, that I shall be able to recover it all. There was a song that talked about that we used to sing here, and I shall recover it all. My God, I want to recover it all. It's interesting here. This began to get in my spirit last week, but even when I was sitting at the graduation, see, all you got to do sometimes is go some places and God will speak to you where you're at, amen. I was beginning to sit down and I was beginning to think about in the graduation ceremony and all the people that were going across the stage getting their degree and stuff, and it made me reflect back, you know, some years ago, I don't even know how many, it's been over 30, 28, 29, when I walked across that stage to receive my bachelor's of science degree. But what it made you start thinking about is, okay, since I've had that degree, what have I accomplished anything? Have I done what I was supposed to do? Then you look at these little beamy-eyed kids, you know, walking across the stage, and they don't know, they ain't got a clue what they in store for. You know what I'm saying, man? But boy, they happy and they excited, and you're thankful for them, but they haven't experienced life yet. They have not experienced life. And not only that, I was concerned that, you know, those that are walking across the stage and they have not experienced life with Christ, because they show nothing trouble. You know what I'm saying? And they don't have a way out when you don't have Christ in your life. But when you have Christ in your life, you can recover all. And so I was sitting and meditating, Brother George, and thinking about my life and said, okay, dear, here, I should accomplish this, that, and the other. And I began to think about, I only have so many years left. And I said, Lord, I want to recover it all. What you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, God, whatever you have caught, whatever, and for whatever reason you have placed me in the earth, I want to take the rest of the time, amen, to recover everything, amen, that I lost in you, I allow the enemy to, you know, I allow the enemy to come in and take. See, we always want to blame it on someone else, but many times we have allowed the enemy. I'm starting to understand in my own life, I'm not looking down the street, round the corner, they hurt me 18 years ago, what they done to me. No, I got to look at myself and say, look, self, you you got to encourage yourself in the Lord so that I can what? Recover everything that God has for my life. And I don't know about you. You see, I'm not talking about degrees and education, and that's okay. Go get that stuff, amen. But I want revelation of knowledge. Amen. I want to get up into paradise. Amen. That's what Paul called it. Paul called it paradise. He went up into the third heaven. He called it paradise. And as we said on Resurrection Sunday, yesterday, that man looked at Jesus. He says, when you come into your kingdom, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he looked at him and he says, today you shall be with me in what? Paradise. I don't know about you. I want some paradise in my life. And I don't want to have to go to Hawaii to get it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, praise Lord, Brother Mike. I know y'all just got back from Hawaii, man. That's what they call Hawaii, paradise, is it not? Amen. But I want to look, when you live for the Lord, paradise can come right in Cincinnati, Ohio. You know what I'm saying? He'll bring paradise to your life and to your house. If this is what we want, this is what we desire. We desire to recover all. But just like David, a man that's after God's own heart, a man that wants to serve God, a man that was ordained to be the king of Israel. See, all of you was ordained to be something when you come out of your mother's womb and you came into time. But just like David, that enemy wants to do everything to bring hurt habits and hang-ups in your life to prevent you from accomplishing that which God has called and ordained for you to do, even from the beginning of time. So today you're going to learn how to recover it all. Say, I'm going to recover it all. So we begin to see here that how the enemy in verse 1, that how he came. Look at verse 1 again. It says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." Verse 2. "And had taken what? The women that were therein. They slew not any, nor the great spoil." Now it's interesting that they had come in, but they took everything, but they didn't slew any of the women. They didn't kill any of the women or any of the children or any of that. Nothing. They just took everything, but they burnt the city. They destroyed it. Destroyed the city there. Now you got to understand, David was one of those guys that was already, he was on the go anyway. You hear what I'm saying? So I believe that even though Ziklag was a very important place for them, that thing got burned up and they were upset about it. But David, God always had a place for David to go. And David's ultimate place was to be the king of all of Israel, to sit upon the throne. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes God got to allow the enemy to burn up some stuff in your life so you can ascend to the place that he called you to go. Oh my God. I know I ain't going to get a shot on some of this stuff. Amen. For some stuff that just got there, he allowed the enemy to come and burn up some stuff. Amen. Because it might be a place that you're settling, and that's might not where God wants you to be. And the enemy will come in. See, because this is the key of it. When you settle in it and it gets too comfortable, see, you start being, see, you start seeking God. You stop talking to God. You start relying upon God. And when you stop doing that, the enemy get ready to come in. You hear what I'm saying? And he going to burn it up. You hear what I'm saying? But God will recover all. You hear what I'm saying? He will recover all. So we see this begin to take place. Look at verse 3. It goes on, says, "David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And the wives and the sons and the daughters, they were taken captives." Now, I want you to understand this. David had a special group of men. Yes, he did. David was bad. David was on the run, and when he was on the run, he ran to this cave called Adullam. Somebody say Adullam. Adullam is a dark place, and you live long enough, you'll have some dark places in your life. You get in some places, you feel like you're in a cave. You hear what I'm saying? On the hideout, amen, from whatever is chasing you. And sometimes your mind will play games on you. You hear what I'm saying? Won't nobody be chasing you. Just be in a cave. You be in a depression, an oppression. I remember our daughter, Jerrica, told me several weeks ago, well, it was probably about a month or so ago, she was telling us, she says, "I don't even want to go into my room." She called, "I want to go into my room," she says, "because it's depressing, you know." And so me and Matthew were up there helping her unpack. And Matthew said, "You don't have anything to be depressed about, you know." And I said to myself, I said, "Sus, if I came in the way this room was looking, I'd be depressed too." So I don't know what Matthew was saying, but I know what I was saying. I said, "You ain't got but so much room in here the way this thing looking. Yeah, I'd be depressed up in here too." But what I'm saying to you is this, is that depression will come into our life. Depression, oppression will come into our life. And we find ourselves in a cave. Now, what was interesting about David, he was on a run, again, from his father-in-law, King Saul. And when he came to this place, the Bible said that men came unto David. Now, it's interesting that when you're down, God will bring people into your life. You hear what I'm saying? He'll bring you. You want to know why he's going to bring people in your life? Because he's getting ready to deliver you. You hear what I'm saying? Yes, sir. He get ready to bring you up out of there. And when he bring you out, he always blesses those that are with you. Hear what I'm saying? See, that's one thing for somebody to love you when you're on top, but there's another thing for them to love you when you're on the bottom. Oh, my God. Oh, when people come into your lives when you don't have anything. I found out the more money I had, the more friends I have. You know what I'm saying? The more folk want to hook up with me and want to know me and stuff like that. But when I ain't got anything, I get really thin then. When I don't have anything, thing, particularly that green stuff. You know what I'm saying? But what I want to say unto you, that David had some men, and these were men with issues. And these particular men, the Bible says, well, let me see. We got the Bible here. Let's go see what the Bible says. Verse, go back. Hold your place here. We're coming back. Go over to chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. We're in the neighborhood. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1. I want you to see this, because David had these men that were in his life. And although I may be speaking in the context of men, this is for women. Amen. We are all God's children. Amen. And he wants to recover all for all of us. But we're going to learn some principles here when we don't have headship and leadership, when we don't have the right person in our lives, what it will cause in our lives. Look at verse 1, 22 and 1. Are you there? It says, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brother and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him." Now, we know David was on, again, the run. We made that very clear here. And his dad and his brothers. You know what happened when they came, that Jesse is his dad. Everybody say Jesse. So Jesse is his dad, and it was the prophet Samuel that came into the house and anointed him to be king of all of Israel in the midst of his brothers. Did he not? Immediately after that, he went and he had to serve another king. Somebody serve another king. I used to teach this some years ago. It's called training for reigning. If you're going to reign with him, amen, you got to serve, first of all, amen. You got to learn how to serve another king. So if you're going to be king, you got to learn how to serve another king. For ladies, if you're going to be queen, you got to learn how to serve another queen. Because in the serving another queen, you know how the queen does her thing. You hear what I'm saying? In the serving of another king, it's the same way. You hear what I'm saying? And so he had to serve another king, and he served his father-in-law. Or he didn't go into it as serving his father-in-law. He went into serving King Saul. And we've already spoke that how he got jealous of him. So he's on the run. He finds himself over here in this cave called Adullam here. And while he's in this cave, look at verse 2. It says, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became what? A captain over them, and there were with him about what? 400 men. Now here go a man that's down. I'm telling you what. And then not only is he down, a whole bunch of down folk come with him. Amen. They were in debt, they were distressed, and they were also discontented. You hear that? Yeah, all three of these things were going on in their lives here. And so we see here, I want us to understand here that somebody say men are leaders. Yeah, men are leaders, and men are leaders of their homes. Amen. And in the context that the Lord has established it, that a man should leave his mother and his father and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one. And that one comes through holy matrimony, when two people come together and they get married. Now, we know that the day that we're living in, Pastor Angela and I have seen this trend over the years that people are doing what I call shacking and snacking. Amen. People are what we call cohabitating. Amen. Somebody say cohabitation. Well, people don't understand, 75% of the people that cohabitate, they don't get married. And because we got a friend thing going on, and you're really not really committed to one another simply because you're in that particular situation. But God wants a man to marry his wife. Amen. Somebody say, God wants a man to commit. Say, commit. He wants that man to make a commitment to that woman. And when he makes that commitment, he leaves his mom and daddy and he cleaves unto the wife, and the two become one. Amen. In the Lord. Amen. Yeah. So you can't become one outside of the Lord. You can try all day long, but your oneness comes in him, because when it's in him that you lose yourself. Oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? You got to lose your own desires, your own ways, lost in him. And that's how the two people can become one, because now you're coming together. Instead of it's being about me or being about her, it's all about him. And when it's all about him, we lift him up in our lives. When it's all about him, then we can begin to move, amen, and recover some things, amen. But when the man is out of place, somebody say out of place. The woman gets displaced and the children gets misplaced. You know what I'm saying? And so men got to be in their rightful spot. So here go men. They were discontented, in debt and distressed, and they came to David. They wanted to be a part of his army. And David was on the run. He was on the go all the time here. And so we see David as he gets these men here. Again, these men are to be the head over the homes. They were gone, somebody say, 3 days. In those 3 days, the Amalekites strike their camp, amen, and burns it and takes everything away with them. I've said earlier that when the head is not in place, amen, when he's not in place, when he's gone for just a little while, somebody say just a little while, I'm telling you, the enemy will come in. Now, let me give you a prime example of this, where I have seen this, I've seen this happen before. Years ago, when we were living in Texas serving, I was serving on the parking lot ministry. And one of the things I used to pray all the time, Lord, I want to deal with some demons. I was a little young Christian, zealous, you know what I'm saying? But I was reading them scriptures. He said, I should tread upon the serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm me. He said, man, I should be able to cast out devils. So I was asking God, show me some devils. I want to see some devils, man. Show me some devils. I was hearing stories about devils. I said, man, I got the power, and I want to cast out some devils. Well, one Sunday, I was on the parking lot, and at the parking lot at the church we were serving at, there were probably about 600 cars that were coming. I remember part of our confession of faith, we were believing God for 700 cars. Amen. And every time when they got to 700, we were believing God for 800 cars. I mean, that's where our faith, we were in the parking lot. You see what I'm saying? We were doing ministry in the parking lot, believing God, and we were seeing cars. The church was growing and increasing through the confession of faith. We had the parking lot covered. Well, one of the duties of one of the parking lot attendants, it rotated, was to stay out and count all the cars. So it was my Sunday to stay out and count all the cars. So all the brothers went in, and they by then praise and worship is going on. I'm out there, oh God, I'm missing praise and worship. I'm out here counting cars. And it was pretty easy because we never had that many there. But I had to count. Well, while I was counting cars, Brother George, a lady pulls up, and she pulls up, and it looked like her hair, she had stuck her finger in an electric vein, and her hair was straight up on her head. And I'm saying, but she looked familiar, Brother George. She looked familiar. And what I remember, this was a sister that I would always see, her and her husband and her three kids. They walk in every Sunday. I mean, just walking, they walking me in the perfect family. I'm telling you, they walking to church. She's smiling at the brother, and they got the three children walking to church every Sunday. Well, she rose up in the parking lot on that Sunday. I mean, put the car in park, started screaming out. The one I went over there, her hair was all way. And all three of the kids, ain't neither one of them have a lick of clothes on. They were young kids. Nobody had no clothes on. I'm like, what in the world going on? And the first thing came to my mind, boy, this is what she said. She says, I am being harassed by the devil. And the first thing came to my mind, boy, you better watch what you pray for. Got the devil all up in this situation here. So I'm sitting here thinking, like, what am I going to do? She telling me she harassed, and you can see it, and the kids don't have any clothes on, her hair all over the place, and I'm saying, what am I? So the first thing I did, I said, well, let me go get some of the deacons. I would prune. I say, stay right here. I'm going to go get the deacon. So I go get the deacon, and the deacon go get one of the elders, and they come out and they say, you going on in the church. You going on in the church. I say, yeah. Let me get on in here, because I ain't dealing with these demons. I ain't as ready as I thought I was. Get my butt on in the church. Yeah, man, that's, bro, that's all right, bro. I like to run in the church. Brother, I ran all the way from that parking lot, brother. I forgot about counting cars and everything, man. So what I really liked about what happened, though, they gave me some follow-up. Because they probably said, boy, we been following that little young Christian. He probably, the head is messed up. So the next week, they pulled me to the side, the deacon over the parking lot ministers, the elder sisters would like to talk to you. And so they sat down and talked to me, and they explained to me what was going on, and that the woman had been up on an attack for some time, for a couple of weeks, right? And this is what they said to me. They said, ever since her husband had been assigned to Korea, the enemy, he had been gone for 2 weeks, and the enemy had been harassing her. Because when in the military, if you go to Korea, it's an unaccompanied tour. It's a one-year tour that you go and you have to leave your family back. And that brother went to Korea. I don't know what happened, but I'm telling you, about 3 weeks later, I seen that brother and his family and his children. They walk in the church like nothing had ever happened. They done somehow got that brother back from Korea. You know what I'm saying? He back with his family and looked like they hadn't missed a step. And the Lord showed me something at that time. He said, son, this is what happens when you're a child of God, a child of the King. You hear what I'm saying? And when that authority is out of place, the enemy will come in and attack that family. I'm here to tell you that. He'll come in and attack that family. And I don't know how long. Like I said, I know he had been gone for about 2 weeks. But I knew the family. I knew them. I'm talking about, in a sense, I would always see them walking up to church. And it became a problem when I was reading this and thinking about this, how all these men, because David had all these men with him that were in debt, discontented, and distressed. He had all of them with him, and they were out, amen. And so you got to understand, the Amalekites, what they were doing, this was retaliation. David and them done put a spanking on them earlier. David and them went and killed everything, took all types of stuff from them. And this is retaliation that's coming back unto them. But the point that I want to make is this. For us that I said it earlier, if it's not just a man, and you may be a woman in here and say, well, I'm not married, I ain't got no covering. You got a covering. His name is Christ. Amen. And what I'm saying unto you, we cannot afford to take no time off. We cannot afford to take no time. And the Bible, what you say, men? And the men, this is the thing that the Lord says unto us, men. You may be in the house, you hear what I'm saying? But this is what the word tells us, that tells our wives to follow your husband as he follows the Lord, the Christ. You know what I'm saying? Because the men, we got authority over us, and his name is Christ, and over Christ is God. So we as men, see, you could be in the house, and your house can get taken over because you're not following the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Yeah. Oh, my God. So can I get a, somebody praise the Lord on that? Amen. Yeah, because this is true. This is real. That you can be in the house, but if you ain't got, if he ain't over your life, amen, I'm telling the enemy is coming to your household, amen? He's coming in there, and he ain't going to say anything to you. Nothing. Get out of the way so I can make some damage of your household. But I'm here to tell you, man, we cannot afford to take too many days off from the Lord. Amen. I'm here to tell you because we will begin to serve and to worship something else other than the true and the living God. And when we do that, it's a setup that the enemy will come in to call hurt, harm, and hang up in our lives. But I'm here to tell you, you can recover it all. You know what I'm saying? Anything that God has for you, you can recover it all. So we see David here with his men here. Look at verse 2 again. It says, and everyone that was distressed and everyone was in debt and discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about, what, 400 men. And then it says, verse 3, and David went thence to Mizpeh of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father, my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God would do for me. Now, this is one of the principles that we're going to pick up here. Go back over to 1 Samuel chapter 30 to the text. But one of the principles we're going to pick up here is that David was real good of inquiring of the Lord of what the Lord would do to me. He says, now, what I need you to do in this case, he said, I need you to take care of my mom and my daddy. He went and told that king down there, Moab, he said, take care of mom and daddy until I understand what the Lord would have of me to do. With the Lord, because he was on the run at that time. But one thing about David, he'd inquire of the Lord. David wasn't a perfect man because he messed up when that boy got king, he became a fool. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes when we get into places of authority, we walk in our kingship, but we're not understand who made us king, amen, that authority would mess us up. And so we must be able to manage the authority that has been given unto us even as well. So are you at 1 Samuel chapter 30? Go back with me, please, verse 4. Let's look at verse 4. Before we get there, I want to give another example. I'm thinking about this morning. Anybody seen that? I don't know if it's reality TV, but it's a thing on those men in Alaska. You ever seen? Okay, y'all, yeah, that's a man thing, yeah. I mean, where they go out and they living below zero out there. You actually say, why in the world are these fools off the grid like this? They literally off the grid. They living out there in the wilderness. But that's a man's man out there, though. But I'm telling you what, well, he taking care of his lady. And what happened is they'll leave. And look, they'll be down. They know before wintertime hit, they got to have so much meat in that freezer. You know what I'm saying? They got to have so much, man. And so they'll get together, those two or three men, they'll get together, man. They get their shotguns, their rifles, their fishing pole. They do whatever they need to do. They go on, boy, they looking for something huge. You know what I'm saying? Because they got to bring enough meat back for mama and the kids to take care of them. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, man, do we have any real men today? You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about men that's going to go out there and get it. You know what I'm saying? And look, and they ain't taking all day to do it either. They understand, look, this is how they do it. They go out. Look, they ain't going out no two or three or four or five days. You know why? The bears show up at the house. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about critters start coming around, and they're afraid. It's the same thing God telling us men, brother, when you ain't in place. I'm telling you, critters start coming in. Stop showing up at your house. Fools start acting the fool. You know what I'm saying? And I'm here. So men, we got to cover down. We got to cover down. I'm telling you. And so what these men do many times, mom, they go out before daylight, they get on out there and they kill them something and they get back before the sun come down. I looked at those men, I said, man, these men, they got the real deal going on because they know they ain't gonna leave mama and the children uncovered back there. I'm telling you, man, we're living in a time today that we need to have some real men. You hear what I'm saying? And real men love Jesus. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. I told you this should have been a Father's Day message. I know it should. I was working on this thing. I said, man, I should say this for Father's Day. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what I wanted to see, look at verse 4. It says, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now, who was the people that were with David? Hmm? They were what? And men did what? They wept. Men cry. We got so many strong men. Don't let your children see you cry. I don't know. She don't need to see me cry. Live long enough. Live long. You be hard all you want to. Amen. Look. See, but these were emotions. And men, you're allowed to have emotions. You're allowed to cry. Amen. In front of the ladies. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I call myself the weeping prophet every now and then. Look, I'll ball up and cry in a heartbeat right up in front of everybody. Amen. Ain't no shame in the game. Amen. But crying is an emotion type of thing. And these men, they begin, because of the retaliation, the emotions came up on them, and they began to cry. And it says that the men, that then David and the people that were with him, they lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, man, they to their gland, they couldn't even produce any more weeping. And verse 5, it says, and David's two wives that were taken there, we named them Ahinoam and Abigail. These are his two wives. And so David has some skin in the game. You hear what I'm saying? David had, look, David's wives was a part of what was going on there. You know what I'm saying? Yes, sir. David was, he was not only distressed, but he was like them. He was upset, crying, and everything because his ladies was over there. You know what I'm saying? And it goes on to say, and there's something interesting about David's wife. They both were given to him. I'm telling you, man. Yes, sir. You go check out that. You really go check out Nabal and Abigail. You go, God. You go read that thing and see what happened there. I'm telling you what. It's something else, man. It go on there. So I can only handle one wife. I don't know what David was doing. Amen. Now you think about it, David has two wives here, and this is what authority. It'll mess you up, brother. He has two wives, and then he wanted another man's wife later on. Oh, we'll leave that alone. All right, verse 6 here. And it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of what stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David inquired of the Lord, amen, his God. He, yes, sir. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. So I want us to understand here. See, after all the emotions are gone, the reality begins to set in. Yes. These boys don't cry. All the saliva glands are dried. I mean, the eye glands, these glands here, man, are dried out. And then reality sets in. And these boys begin to think about is, this is what they, I believe they started thinking. See, this is how we're thinking in the natural. Is this the job I really supposed to be on?
That's right.
You know, is this the place I'm supposed to really supposed to be working at? Is this the man that I'm really supposed to be following and have my life submitted to? You start asking those questions when reality set in. See, when it's all good, when you're running and you ambushing stuff and you out front, but then when you get a setback, when the enemy hits you hard and you come back there, man, you done lost something that was very valuable to you. You start questioning then. You're crying pout for a little while, and then you really start thinking about this. Is this worth the sacrifice that I'm making? Is this really worth it all? So after you get through all the crying, this is the emotions that we go through when we lose something. You know, we get through all the crying, then the reality set in. I got bills to pay.
That's
right. How are we going to do this? And so one or two things are going to happen. Either you're going to go into depression, or you get ready to come up and say, here, man, look, I got to recover all. I got to recover. I mean, one or two things going to happen. And when you're outside of the Lord, amen, I'm telling you, many times you can go in that depressed mode and stay over there for a long time. But God don't want you to be there. He wants you to recover all, amen. He wants you to recover every bit of it. And so these men, so you thought David had some problems about his own wives being over there. But them boys started thinking about the reality of this and say, what has this fool led us into? We get ready to stone him right now. You know what I'm saying? They get ready to stone their leader. I'm talking about the men that they came to when they were down. They came to David. And David brought them up, and they went places and took things and did things. And they had their own place with their wife. Not only did David take them, David took their messed up families as well. You know what I'm saying? Because if a man was in debt, discontented, and distressed, you better know that there was some pressure in the household as well. David said, I'm going to take y'all and all your households and come on and follow me. I got issues. Y'all got issues. We still going to go do what the Lord tells us to do. And so this reality hits here. After the emotions, the reality sets in, and they sit here and say, boy, we get ready to stone him. But the Bible says what David done. The Bible said, this is the first thing I want you to understand. See, because this is the recovery strategy here. See, because every time that there's a retaliation from the enemy, then you got to have, see, the reality is going to set in, but then there got to be a recovery plan. And the first thing on the recovery plan is this. You got to know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. Now here go the principle to you. If you ain't got in a relationship with the Lord, you can't encourage yourself in the Lord. It didn't just say David just encouraged himself. David encouraged himself in the Lord thy God. David encouraged himself. And I thought about all of this. I thought about David, Potter thought about back when David said, you know what? He thought about that when he was in the Lord. I believe he thought about when that old Goliath came upon him. And he got that smooth stone and he hit that thing. He hit that enemy that was larger than him. I believe that he began to think about that. You know what I'm saying? He began to encourage himself. He said that the Lord was on my side and I took down. And not only that, the how he dealt with the bear and the lion. You know what I'm saying? I believe not only that. And then I believe he got his little praise on when he thought about when the Ark of the Covenant was out there. And he got his little praise on. And you know what I'm saying? And he knew how to encourage himself. Oh, see, if you're going to recover at all, if you see what I'm saying? You, first of all, you got to be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. You got to be encouraged in the Lord because, look, there are some things that the Lord let get away that you don't want to go back and get. So when you encourage yourself in the Lord, you go recover the right things. Amen. The things that he wants you to have. But the Lord said, you're going to recover it all. You'll recover it all. So we see here that these emotions get in and then the reality kicks in. And then after the reality, I got to have a recovery plan. I got to have a remedy for this. And my first thing is I got to encourage myself in the Lord. Do you know how to encourage yourself in the Lord? Can you remember the last thing that the Lord did for you? Can you remember that? All you got to think about, he woke you up this morning. You ain't got to be religious about this thing. You know what I'm saying? Look. He blessing you even when you ain't right. When you ain't living right. When you ain't talking right. He's still waking you up every morning. Because I'm here to tell you, you can't live too long wrong and stay alive. You turn right on over there to Nabal. We ain't going to turn over there. But that boy, the Bible says, look, he was angry. He treated his wife bad. And let me tell you, and in the end, the woman of God, what she did, she went to David. They said, David has sent some guys over there to talk to him. Amen. And he sent the guy to talk to him. And David was trying to bring peace offerings to him. He wanted to make a covenant with him. He said, nah, I ain't going down for that. I ain't going down for that. And so they go back. David said, all right, get the swords and everything together. We getting ready to go tear this place up. David said, I tried to come in peace with that rascal, and he didn't want to receive me. Now I'm getting everything together. We're getting ready to go take everything. That was David's attitude. I'm telling you, when you're a man of God, I'm telling you what, man, when the enemy comes into your camp, you know what I'm saying? See, when look, he done had enough wrong things done to him. David said, nah, I'm on the offense now. Yeah, I ain't hiding from anybody. I'm on the offense now. I'm telling you, man, you got to get in your life. If you're going to recover all, you got to get in your life to the point of saying, look, I'm on the offense now. I done lived long enough with people doing stuff to me. Treat me any way they want to treat me. It's time to get on the offense. Look, I'm on the Lord is on my side. Amen. If he is with me, who can be against me and succeed? I'm here to tell you, man. And so when you got the Lord with you, it's time now. It's called momentum. Amen. It's time to get something. It's time to pick the speed up. Oh, don't say I'm old. Nah, you young in the Lord. Amen. It's time. It's time to pick the speed up. And it's time to pursue all and recover all. It ain't going to happen you laying back in the cave. It ain't going to happen you just sitting back waiting for something to happen for you, waiting for your ship to come in. Nah, look. I know some of y'all been on a cruise, amen. The ship ain't waiting on you. Nah, you better be there when that ship move out, amen. You know what I'm saying? Wait for my ship to come in. Yeah. You better be right there. You better be standing right there when they say it's time to go. Because it's moving out without you. I'm telling you, church, it's time. If you're going to recover all, it's time. It's time to pick up the pace. It's time to pick up the pace in your life. Amen. You ain't got but so many years left up on here. I know this thing gonna go for a long time, but we only got so much time in here. And I sat up in myself when I was sitting up at that graduation. I said, Lord, I'm making a difference for you. I don't know. Lord, I want to make a difference for you. When my time is up, amen. I just didn't want them to say that he had some degree or he was famous. No, I just wanted to say he was faithful. Just he was faithful. And David was faithful to the things of God. So we see here, he got his men. And I'm telling you, you read that in your own account. I'm not going to go there. But with Abigail, how he got Abigail, his wife, he went over there, and they didn't receive him. Abigail was a smart woman. Let me tell you what that woman did. She said, I know I got a bad husband, but don't kill him. That's what she said. I know I got a bad one. I know he evil. I know he ain't good. But Abigail went out there. Abigail said, load up the horses. Yeah, didn't even tell her husband. She said, look, this fool I got, I ain't dying here with him. I'm loading up the donkeys, load up everything, get it. I told her servant, get this stuff. We're going to meet David. Yeah. Went and met David. And this wasn't even about no hookup or us getting together. She said, no, I come to bring peace offers. Yeah, she come and said, look, I know I got this fool I'm living with and he's evil, but please don't kill him off. He the only thing I got. Don't kill him off. And the Bible said this boy he was so mean. He was so mean and so evil. The Bible said it was a matter of time and he died. Said his heart became like a stone and he died in a matter of days. Amen. And David sent for Abigail. Said, go get that girl. And the Bible said Abigail came over there. Abigail was a pretty girl too. The Bible said Abigail was pretty. David liked them pretty girls. Yeah, he did. But the Bible said Abigail was pretty. I mean, the Bible get down where we live in there. You know what I'm saying? And the woman wasn't even thinking like that. You know what I'm saying? She was just trying to look. I'm just trying to keep my household safe. This old crazy husband I got, he ain't even covering the house. And I got to do this thing. You know what I'm saying? And in the end, God said that boy, let me tell you why I believe God let him die. Number one, he didn't honor God. And because he didn't honor God, he didn't honor his wife. He treated that boy wrong. The Holy Ghost told me, he said, boy, if you don't treat that wife, you're wrong. I'm close your eyes. I said, oh God. Oh God, I want to be around here with my wife. But you read that in your own time. And I'm here to tell you, God, you can't stay around here living evil. Evil and all bent out of shape with folks and stuff like that. You ain't want to be around here alone. The Bible says God allowed his heart to get stoned. His heart got stoned and it was a matter of days. The boy closed his eyes. And then she came into her paradise. She went and met her man David. David said, go get Abigail. And Abigail became his wife, the Bible says. Yes, sir. David was bad, boy. He loved God. I'm telling you, David loved God. Now, so we see the remedy here. I like how George, when you were singing that song, it's working for my good. Yeah. It's good. And so you got to understand that no matter what's happening to you, amen, it's working for your good if you're in the Lord. It's going to be working for my good. It's not about how I feel, amen. It ain't, but it's my faith. It's what the facts say. The facts say that all things work together for the good, for those that are called according to his purpose, and those that love him. So if I've been called and I love him, I expect everything to work out for my good. Oh, yeah, I might get some tears and all of that, but it's going to eventually work out for my good. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to what? Recover all. I'm expecting to recover all. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know about you. I got some gaps in my life. You know what I'm talking about? I got to do some gap analysis, some gap management. I got to recover some things that I know God has called me to do and what God has for me, not only for me, but my whole household. You know what I'm saying? So we got to recover these things. So the first thing is you got to know how to encourage yourself in the Lord. We gave some of those. You can dance. You can pray. You can, amen, just begin to reminisce and remember the goodness of God and what he has done in your life. All these things you would begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. The second thing I want you to see is in verse 7 here. I want trust the godly leadership that has been placed in your life. Somebody say, trust the godly leadership that has been placed in your life. Well, where you get that from, Pastor? David was that type of person. Look here at verses 7. It says, and now we see that David had encouraged himself in verse 6. Verse 7, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son. Now, if you, oh God, I just got to say, you got to understand how this enemy works. Because he is a real enemy. And he will take you out. Now, and not only will he take you out, he'll take the people of God around you out. Now, this is what the king done. This is what, this is crazy. This messed me up. Now, Abiathar is Ahimelech's son. You got to understand, Abiathar, he's a priest. His dad was a priest, Ahimelech. But you got to understand, Abiathar was on the run too. Because what took place, David went down to Ahimelech, and Ahimelech gave him some words of wisdom. Matter of fact, David was hungry, and David wanted to eat of the bread, what they call the show bread. The bread that was set aside for people holy. And he said, look, you unholy. Bread. David said, I ain't been with nobody for 3 days. The boy ain't been home for what? 3 days. You know what I'm saying? He said, I ain't been with anybody from 3 days. I'm clean. That's what he said. And so he allowed him to take a look at, to eat that show bread. And then this is what he goes on to say. Y'all look at this on y'all. This is over in 22, chapter 22. This is what he goes on to say. David tells him, he says, now I got to ask you something. He said, now do you have a sword? This is what he asked him. He said, do you have a sword? Because there was a guy, was his name Doug? The Edomite. He was with King Saul. And so he seen the king, or he seen Ahimelech give this stuff, this showbread, to David. But he was a part of King Saul's people, army. And he was there, he was looking. And I'm telling you, and David asked, David said, do you got a sword? I believe David. David looked at him, and David said, I know who this is. Right. This is what David said, you got a sword. This is what David said. David said, I came here so quickly. You hear that? He came to the priest, what? Quickly. He said, I came here so quickly. He said, I didn't bring a sword or anything with me. He said, I came here so quickly. This is how I said, because the king's business requires haste. That's what you said. What you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about if you're going to recover all, you got to get hasty about this thing. I'm telling y'all, yeah, ain't no more turning around. We got three. Now, we're going straight for the juggler. Now, I'm going to recover it all. I'm tired of letting the system hold me back. I'm going around the system. I ain't even trusting in the system any longer. I'm going with the Most High God. That's who I'm going with. So when he went with the High God, he went down to Ahimelech. He got down to the house of the priest. He said, let me get down here. And this is what he asked him. He said, do you have a sword? He said, the only sword that I had is the sword of Goliath. Well, who was Goliath? Goliath was the giant that David had killed. He killed back here. And he had wrapped it up in the ephod, had wrapped it up over here. And David said, that'll do. That's what David said. And you think about it, that thing was larger because this was a giant that was holding this thing. David said, that'll go get it. That'll do. Now, let me tell you what happened. The king, King Saul had heard that the priest had helped him out. He went up into Ahimelech's house. You hear what I'm telling you? He gathered all them. Then he looked at this guy. He said, now I want you to kill it. He told Ahimelech, he said, every one of you are going to die today. The priest. He said, every one of you are going to die today. Ahimelech said, what am I going to die for? David is your, he said, pretty much David is your son-in-law. He ain't did anything wrong. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know that he was jealous towards him. The Bible says that day, 85 priests were killed in that day. Yeah. Well, why you say that, man? Well, Abiathar was one of the only ones that got away. Yeah. Abiathar ran over to David and said, David, King Saul done killed all the priests. Done killed them all. But Abiathar, so David said, look, me and you in the same situation. You might well be down with me and run with me. Be on the run with me. So now David got him a priest on the run with him. You know what I'm saying? So now we're in recovery mode now. You know what I'm saying? They done retaliated, amen. And we look like we're going out, we're crying and everything. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. But the second thing he did, he inquired of the priest. He says, priest, if you would pray with me, amen. That's what he said. He says, I pray thee, amen, that we will inquire of the Lord. So look. So he get the priest, Abiathar. Abiathar was Ahimelech's son. And he took care of him. He said, I'm down with you, man. He said, I'm down with it. David inquired of the priest. What I'm saying is you got to have godly leadership in your life if you're going to recover it all. What you're saying, Pastor, somebody in your life that's going to encourage you to get out of being comfortable. Amen. Getting out of being in lack. You hear what I'm saying? Somebody's going to tell you now, you got to get off the system. Amen. And get on. Get with God. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's going to encourage you to live right, to live upright. That's why I got a pastor. And I listen to my pastor as much as I possibly can, because he challenges me to live upright. He challenges me to build my faith. He challenges me to move beyond what I see. You know what I'm saying? He challenges me to do that. You ain't got to wait all this get in place for you to do what God has called you to do. And so I understand these things, and we all need to have this. It's much like children need to have parents. In the natural, spiritually, you got to have some spiritual parents, some people in your life. It could be your pastor. It could be some spiritual people in the house of God or the pillars in the church. I mean, people that you have trusted in. You see God working them. You see that they walk by faith and not by sight. These are the type of people that you need to have in your life. Now, not only that, he trusted in not only the king of Gath, but he also trusted in the prophet called Gad. Somebody said G-A-D, prophet Gad. He went to Gad, and while he was in the cave, he went to Gad. This is what the prophet told him. The prophet said, get out of that hole. Get out. See, that's why you got to have a prophetic voice in your life. They'll tell you, get out of the hole. He all in the doolum, in the dark, depressed. And sometimes the prophet got to walk out in your life and say, get out of the hole. He says, boy, get your butt out of the hole and get over to Judah. Woo, Judah is praised. You hear what I'm saying? He said, get up out of this situation and get on over there where you're supposed to be. And that's what the prophetic voice will do. They come to point you. This is why you got to have not only the apostolic. We talked about the fivefold ministry that comes to help to equip the saints, to build them up. You hear what I'm saying? That they might do the work of the ministry. And what I'm saying to you, you got to have these voices in your mind, in your life. We said weeks ago, this is why people listen to different people. Somebody might go listen to Jake's today. Somebody going to go listen to Joe Osteen for some encouragement. Somebody going to go listen to our sister Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer going to jack you up by the collar. Get out of that little pity party and get to moving. You see that prophetess? You see what I'm saying? She comes with that prophetess teaching gift, and we need all of these things. So what you're saying, Pastor, if you're going to recover all, you got to first know how, to encourage yourself in the Lord. And then secondly, you got to get some godly leadership in your life. You got to trust some godly leadership. We're going to look at the third thing here as we close here. If you would, look at verse 8 here. Verse 7, then we get to 8. He says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring hither the ephod. You know what was it? It says, and Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Look at verse 8. And David, what? Inquired at the Lord. Now, David, this is the third thing. Now, he encouraged himself. He sought the counsel of leadership, godly leadership. But then he said, I'm going to inquire of the Lord for myself. He went and talked to the Lord for himself. He did this. He said, I've got to encourage myself. And after I encourage myself, I got to reach out to this godly leadership. I trust in the priests and the prophets and the leadership that God has given unto me. I want to talk to them. Last but not least, I'm going to inquire of the Lord for myself. Look what David did. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? You see, he asked specific questions. He said, these boys done come and took my household, took not only destroyed Ziklag. Amen. Not only took my wives, but took my boys' wives. You know what I'm saying? Burn up everything, took our folks. We don't know what kind of condition they in. Lord, do you want me to pursue? He was specific. Do you want me to pursue them? David inquired of the Lord, said, shall I pursue after this troop? Then he said, shall I overtake them? And somebody say, and he answered him. And he what? He answered him. The Lord answered him. And what did the Lord? The Lord spoke to him specifically. He said, what? Pursue. Now, I think about pursuit is like this. I believe pursuit is like this. Well, we're going to get a plan together, and we might do this next month. You know what I'm saying? Does that sound like pursuit to you? I believe that brother, when he got in prayer, Sister Camila, I believe he had everything ready. All he was waiting for the word, pursue. And when he heard pursue, I believe that brother come up out of prayer. See, because I know where those other 400 men were at. I know where the other 400 men were. Either we going to kill you or we going to go get them. One of the two things going down. And I believe David said, what you want me to do, Lord? He says, pursue. And not only did he say pursue, but he says what? Overtake. And what? And you shall what? Recover all. If the Lord say you're going to recover all, what you think you're going to recover? What you think you're going to recover? You're going to recover all of it. You're going to recover all of it. If the Lord say you're going to recover all, you're going to recover all of it. So we got to posture and position ourselves when we get into this place to hear from the Lord. We got to encourage ourselves what? In the things of the Lord. Amen. Then we got to inquire from the what? People of the Lord. Amen. We got to inquire of them. And then we got to inquire what? Of the Lord himself. What you saying, Pastor? It got to be in the Lord. It has to be in the Lord if you're going to recover everything that the Lord desires for you to have. Now, I didn't put, look over at verse 18. Look at verse 18. This is where we're going to go. Verse 18, because it shows what he done there in all the other verses. Verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had what? Carried away. And David did what? Rescued his two wives. Oh, my God. Oh, my. I could stay right there and say, man, woo, Lord, amen. Verse 19. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, not anything that they had taken to them. What? David recovered all. My. I don't know about you. You just put your name right there. Say, Alma recovered it all. Ruby recovered it all. My God, George recovered it all. Eric has recovered. Nay has recovered it all. Sister Joy has recovered it all. Oh, my. I don't know about y'all. I'm glad I came to church today. Because I'm going to recover all. Amen. I'm going to recover all. Hallelujah. Praise and worship team, y'all come forward here as we close in a sign. I want to say this to you here because I want to lay some balance to this. There's someone that may be here today that don't know the Lord. You might be doing this thing your own way. As I was studying this out, the Lord tipped me over to Isaiah 59. I want to just read this to you, 59, 1 and 2. And it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. See, what I'm saying is God can hear everything, but he chooses not to hear some things. Why, Pastor? Because our sins have separated us from God. What you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying to you, that we have to live a life that is pleasing unto God if we're going to recover all. If we're going to recover all. On down in Isaiah, it says this. It says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. And what he was doing, he's doing that for those that are his people. So what you're saying, Pastor, the enemy will come in to your life. And when he come in, he's going to come in like a flood. But the Bible says that the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Today we've learned how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Not only to encourage ourselves, but to inquire of godly counsel and leadership. Last but not least, to go inquire of the Lord ourselves.